Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well. Welcome to church today. We are in for a great day. I pray that wherever you are today, whoever you're with today, God would speak to you. You know, when I think about the year 2020, there's really only one word that comes to mind, and that is cray-cray. And you might be like, cray-cray, that's two words. No, it's one word said twice, and the word is crazy. Crazy, 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 no doubt about it. But you know what? In the midst of the craziness of what is 2020, we have seen God at work. I am so excited. Think about the message that Georgie spoke a few weeks ago about the bulrushes. You got to look beyond the bulrushes. And when you do, you can see God at work. God is at work. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. God is at work. You know, I think for many of us, particularly for those that are part of Enjoy in the great state of Victoria, we might be a little disappointed at this point in time because the restrictions have gone backwards. But friends, I want to encourage you, if you are from an Enjoy Church location in the great state of Victoria, can I encourage you at this time to be thinking and be mindful of our other wonderful locations, whether it be in Adelaide or Hobart or Grand Junction or Cambodia or even into Osaka. Can I just encourage you at this point in time to be sending out shouts of encouragement to them? You might be like, shout out to encouragement to them. They're all moving forward. That's the point. How many of you know the Bible tells us clearly that we are to mourn with those who mourn and we're to rejoice with those who are rejoicing? And so maybe if you're outside of Victoria, you might want to send a shout of encouragement back into Victoria to the locations in Victoria. But if you're in Victoria, and yes, it's true, restrictions have got a little bit tighter this week. There's no doubt about that. But can I encourage you, be mindful of what God is doing in our locations beyond Victoria. Send a shout out their ways. But just be acknowledging in all of it, God is at work. I want to encourage you, God is at work. Sometimes I need to remind myself, God is at work. And you know what? When I think about the fact that God is at work and I begin to think about all that God is doing, I don't need to think too much before I got to tell you, I can't help but get excited. And the reason I can't help but get excited is because people are still being saved, people are still being baptized, people are still coming into new Christians classes, people are still joining friendship groups and areas of ministry. You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing from so many people that they have never felt more connected to Enjoy Church than they do right now, which I don't know about you, I find it amazing. Why is it amazing? I shouldn't find it amazing because I know God is at work. Not only are we seeing all this within the context of church, but also we're still planning for location plans. That's right. You might be like, Shane, you are crazy. I am crazy. You're crazy too. All the Enjoy Church family. We are just faith-filled. We are believing that God has still got so much more for us. So we're still planning for location plans. We're still doing facility upgrades. We're still doing and completing brand new facilities. Melton is just traveling along nicely. The walls are up. Concrete's going down. Roof is going on. There is so much going on. It is amazing. Dare I say, it is awesome. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And it proves the fact that the church is so much more than merely a service on a Sunday. But the church really is, as Scripture says, it is the gate of heaven. And where it touches down, where it opens up, where it flows to on planet Earth, I got to tell you, there goes the breath of God. And I just get so excited because I am seeing in the most difficult season of our time as Enjoy Church, in the most difficult season, we are still seeing God at work. God is still moving and doing incredible things. Now, the reason that the church has continued to remain strong even through this COVID season is simply because our faith and our song and our dance has never been around a church service. But Christ the King, that's where our song is, that's where our dance is, that's where it is. It's around Christ the King and His Word, which is our foundation and our life. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He doesn't change and neither does His Word. You know, have you ever felt like in life, it's like you're chasing shadows? It's like, and when you finally catch the shadow, there's no substance to it. Have you ever felt like you're trying to build something in your life, but it's like you're building upon sand and it's like you think you're getting somewhere, but the next minute, it all just falls down and it crumbles down. Friends, that is not our God. Our God and His Word are true. He is not like shifting shadows. He's not like shifting sands. No. He is rock and He is solid, which means when the storms and the craziness of life come, which they do and which they will, we see that that which is built upon Christ the rock is going to stand. So our faith is founded not upon a Sunday run sheet. No. I love our Sunday services, but our faith is not based on a Sunday service run sheet, but on Christ and His unfailing and His unchanging word. Think about this. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 4. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, not a spiritual sacrifice, but a spiritual, but offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are being built, as it were, into a spiritual house. Now, we have this building back here. I've worn my camouflage, all my green today, so I can just step in and out of the photo, and you probably can't see me, but I'm over here. And so, but we are like living stones. Now, Christ is the foundation. He is the rock upon which the church is being built, and we are like Him. He is the stone that was rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. And when we come alive in Him, at that point, we become like living stones that now God is building into His house. You know what I love about this picture here is when you look at these stones, they are living stones, but they're not all over the place. They are positioned exactly where God would position them. He knows where He wants to position them. He builds them into. You don't see stones running around the paddocks because that doesn't make any sense at all. But when you come alive in Christ, He takes you and He builds you into something far greater than yourself. Now, we become living stones and we are built into a spiritual house. So it's not a physical house in a location, but it's a spiritual house. And in that spiritual house, we offer up sacrifices, not a sacrifice, but sacrifices. It's an ongoing lifestyle now. We're alive in Christ and we are offering sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as much as I can't wait now to get back to church, and if you know what I'm like, you know what I'm like. I cannot wait to get back to church. I really can't. I can't wait to get back in the car park and be high-fiving people out there. I can't wait to come into the foyer and elbowing and chicken winging and kicking as we come in into the foyer now. I can't wait to engage and to connect. I can't wait for corporate worship. You know, I have missed corporate worship so much. I can't wait to get with my brothers and sisters and just stand in the presence of the saints worshiping God. I can't wait for the Word of God to be able to speak to you live again, to actually see your faces. Now, I can see your faces in my heart, in my spirit. I know that sounds really strange and a little bit weird, but I promise you, when I think about what I'm doing right now, I know I'm looking into a lens, but as I look into that lens, I can see all my brothers and sisters here in the West. I can see the ones in the North. I can just go to the East in my thinking and in my praying. And I know as I speak, I'm speaking into Cambodia and Osaka and Grand Junction and Hobart and Adelaide. I can see you all over Victoria. I see you. We're praying for you. We're believing for you. And we cannot wait to be with you again. I can't wait to see again the altar calls filled with people responding to the Word of God and coming and making Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. I can't wait for it all. But friends, I want to remind you today that with or without our services, there is a great power at work within you. It is at work within you. And it is at work to go through you and from you. And we are going to continue to see the world change because we are Christ's ambassadors here on earth. Whether we have services or we don't have services, there is a power at work within you to change the world. You were called by Christ, to come alive in him, to be built into his house, that we together might offer up sacrifices that are pleasing to him, with or without services. This power is at work in you so that you can be the light of the world and bring spiritual sacrifices. This is a daily walk in Christ, sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God. I like that thought, acceptable to God. I think a lot of the time we're happy to do what we want to do, but is it always acceptable to God? I don't know. We're going to talk about God first. This is a God first series. And if I'm going to bring a sacrifice, I want it to be acceptable to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, there's an interesting thought, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. So this power is like the power that God exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He is the living stone. He is our everything. He is our foundation stone. He is our cornerstone. He is the living stone. And we, like living stones, are being now joined and knit together, as I've already said, into this spiritual house that brings glory to God. It's not a physical building, but a spiritual building. So Jesus fills you with his great power. Think about this, that there is something that is alive in you. Jesus fills you with his great power as he joins and knits you into his church. He's building you into a spiritual house so that you might bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to him. As part of the house, I can't bring a spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God apart from the house, because I'm being built into the house. He doesn't just take me and make me alive and then throw me back into the paddock or throw me into the sea or throw, no. When I come alive in Christ, he takes me and he knits me and he builds me into his house. And then as part of the house, I bring to him sacrifices that are acceptable to him. Now, as I said last week, I know that as I speak today, largely I'm speaking to the converted, those who really do want to put God first in their lives and bring sacrifices that are acceptable to him. But if I may, can I just go here? If I may, you know that I'm typically not backward in coming forward. If I'm thinking something, I want to bring it to you. If I may, can I put it to you today that maybe, just maybe, before we bring a sacrifice to God, maybe we should actually just ask God if it's acceptable to him. Now, you might be like saying, Shane, do you really have to say that? Well, I think I do have to say that, because I think sometimes maybe we bring sacrifices to God because we think this is what God would like. But why don't we actually ask God? Why don't we go to Scripture? Why don't we get the mind of Christ? Why don't we have our mind renewed? Rather than just assuming or presuming this would be acceptable to God, why don't we go to God and ask him? Because if some sacrifices are acceptable to him, then I have to think to myself that maybe, just maybe, there are some sacrifices that are not acceptable to him. Maybe they're given with good intentions. Maybe they're given with good hearts. Maybe they're even given with right motives. But nevertheless, they're not acceptable to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the Lord says, obedience is far better than sacrifice. There's a thought right there. Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Sometimes we think, well, I'm giving this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And the Lord is like, yeah, that's all good, but I prefer you to just be obedient. If you'd be obedient to me, obedient to my word, and then from there bring your sacrifice, it's going to be a way better scenario than walking in disobedience and just bringing whatever you please to me. I remember years ago, I brought Georgie a bread maker. It's a true story. We're going back probably now 15, 16 years. We're going back a long time. Christmas came around and I'd heard Georgie say that she'd like a bread maker. Now I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to surprise her. How many of you know surprises are good sometimes, not all the time? I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to surprise her. So I go down to Harvey Norman or wherever it was, and I got myself this bread maker. It was a beauty. It was like it had everything. It had all the different settings and all the, you could do this and you could do that, and pop, out comes the bread. All right, so I'm getting her this bread maker. I remember I went down there, I bought it back. We wrapped it up and put it under the tree, and then Christmas Day comes along and Georgie opens her gift, and I'll never forget the look on her face. All I can say is it wasn't a look that I really wanted to see. It wasn't a look that I'm like, what have I done? What have I done? In an instant, I realized I got it wrong. And not only did I get it wrong, I don't know what you're thinking, but she said she wanted the bread maker. She did say that, and that's what I said to her. You said you wanted the bread maker. She's like, Shane, that was 10 years ago. I'm like, well, I got there, didn't I? 10 years? What? So I got her the bread maker. She's now disappointed. I'm really disappointed. I'm probably not just disappointed. I'm like ticked and disappointed because I got her bread maker. She said she wanted the bread maker. You can tell I'm still getting over it. But she said she wanted the bread maker, but we took it back. We had to take it back. All right, whatever. I was shattered when she took it back. I was. But you know what? Here's what I learned out of it. Maybe I should have asked her what she wanted. Not like 10 years earlier, taking a hint like 10 years earlier. Maybe I should have just asked her, baby, what would you like for Christmas? Maybe I should have gone to Georgie first. Maybe we need to go to God first. If we're looking to please God and bring a sacrifice, a gift, an offering that is acceptable to Him, maybe we need to go to Him and find out what it is He actually wants. So as we get ready to land this plane today, as we look to come to a place, I just want to take you to Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. It says here, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Brothers and sisters, can I put it to you today that spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God must be, here we go, firstly, they must be true. True. They must be true. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 17 says, I will take the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness to check the foundation wall you have built. Your refuge looks strong, but since it is made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it is made of deception, the enemy will come like a flood to sweep it away. Here we go. Two things here. Justice and righteousness. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, walk in the truth of Jesus Christ every day. This is why the sacrifice isn't a sacrifice, but it's sacrifices that are pleasing to God. When we walk in justice, when we walk in righteousness, when we walk in truth, we are a living sacrifice that is pleasing to God. I want to encourage you today because I think so much of what we do, at the end of the day, yes, it's all very important, but there are some things that are more important. And if we want to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, who brings sacrifices that are pleasing to God, acceptable to God, they must be true and they must have lines of justice and righteousness. Friends, I want to encourage you today, spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God, They must be full of integrity. Integrity. They must have integrity at the center of them. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 17 says, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. Hear that, church. Hear that. The Lord rejoices when He finds integrity in all that you are doing, in your heart of hearts, when you step out, when you bring a sacrifice, when you're working for God, when you're living for God. Let integrity be the center of all you do. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. I don't know about you. I get excited about this because I see what's happening here. I see that they're building something together for the glory of God. They're building something together that's going to advance the kingdom of God. And the man of God is like, I know you've examined my heart, Lord, and you've found me to be right in here. You found me to be a man of integrity. And not only have I done that, but the people of God, they are coming with right motives, and they are coming willingly, and they are coming joyously. I'm just excited to be part of a church that is on song, on track. We rejoice in the Lord always. We are dancing and praising and worshiping and living for our God. We rise up every day. We take our place in the kingdom of God. We're not moving like lost stones, walking all over the hills or in the ocean. No, we are joined and knit together, built into the house of God where Jesus has planted us, that we might be a temple, a spiritual house that really does bring him glory. Here we go. Third thought as we get ready to conclude. Spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God must be, here we go, point number three, generous. Generous, generous, generous. Listen to this scripture, Isaiah 32, verse 8. But good people will be generous to others and will be blessed for all they do. All right, did you hear that? Just say that again. But good people, praise God, that's you, will be generous to others. We're going to be, it's not just generous to ourselves and to others, and will be blessed for all they do. Who do you think is going to bless him? Who do you think is going to bless him for all they do? It's the Lord himself is going to bless them for all they do. Why? Because they are generous to others. This is what good people are. They are generous to others, not just to himself, but they're generous to others, and they are blessed for all they do as a result. Church, we're not called by Christ to build services. We're called by Christ to make disciples. This is why the church continues to move forward in this season, because we have never just been about building services. Yes, we love our services and we can't wait to get back to them. But more than that, we are part of making and building the church. We are still, even though we're not meeting physically together, we are still holding our place in the house of God. We're still strong together, knit together, built into the spiritual house where Christ has placed us. And so we are about making disciples. We're about embracing that which is true. We're about walking in integrity and growing in generosity. And as we do these things, I know that we will be bringing spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Now, some of you might be like, Shane, I thought this God First series was going to be more about tithes and offerings, because in other years that's been largely the focus, and there is a place for that. But as I've said last week, I don't want the God First series to simply be a stewardship type series of our finances, because we are called to steward a whole lot more than simply our finances. Friends, I want to encourage you that if we're going to put God first, we need to be putting God first in all of our life. It is not just a financial reality, a stewardship reality in regard to that space, because our world, as much as that is important, is made up of a whole lot of spaces and places within our hearts, and we need to make sure we're putting God first in all of them. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." My hope and my desire for us as a church, as we continue to grow and continue to mature into the fullness of Christ, is that as we continue to be built into the house, that we might bring sacrifices that are pleasing to him. The sacrifices that I've obviously mentioned when it comes to truth and integrity and generosity. My hope is that we are building these things into our life, that we would not neglect the former things. We would continue to practice those things, like bringing our tithes and bring our offerings, and we would continue to grow in the matters of justice and righteousness and integrity and generosity. I pray and I hope that as we continue to walk as those who are called by Christ, who have been made alive by Christ, who have been built into the house by Christ, I hope as we practice all these matters pertaining to righteousness, that we would continue to bring our tithes and would continue to bring our offerings. Why? Because we know that pleases the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, I just want to encourage you, church. We are in great, great days. We stepped into 2020, and I've got to tell you, as we stepped in, as we hit March, we had never had more people in church. We had never had more. Everything was up in March. But you know what? And then COVID came. But this is what I want to say to you. The church has remained strong. And it's because we are all, we know our place in the house of God. We know who we are in the house of God. Our faith isn't built around our service or a service running sheet, but our faith is built upon the Word of God. And as we continue to practice and bring sacrifices that are pleasing to Him, not only shall we come out of COVID, but we're going to come out stronger than we ever have been before. Father, I pray for every enjoyer right now. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would have an ongoing, growing revelation, Lord, of sacrifices that are acceptable to you. For Lord, we truly want to be, Lord God, a living and a holy sacrifice, Lord God. We want to be, Lord, people, Lord, that are built into the house of God, that are knit together, that rise up in faith every day, whether we're able to have services or not. Lord, we are part of the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Lord God. Lord, this is who we are. We belong to you and we surrender afresh today. Lord, our lives to you, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would lead us and you would guide us in all that we do, Lord God, that we might bring, Lord God, sacrifices that are pleasing to you. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. We look forward, Lord God, Lord, to the financial year that lies ahead, Lord God. For Lord God, we are not only wanting to bring our finances, Lord God, into a place, Lord God, where they honor you, but we want to bring our whole lives into a place that honor you. Lord, we want to put you first, God first, Lord. We want to put you first in every aspect of our life. So we commit, Lord God, and I commit, Lord God, our church to you afresh today, our families and our businesses, our couples and our singles, Lord God. Lord, every individual, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless them abundantly. Lord, we look to put you first in all that we do in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen.